Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Well, good morning. How are we today? You keeping warm? It's a bit cold outside. It's a bit stormy the last few days, and it's kind of inspired me to talk about storms. I suppose the weather's just inspired me today, and I want to jump straight into it because we're going to cover a lot of ground. So if you've got your Bibles, Mark chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 45, if you've got them. It's a story of the disciples in a boat in the middle of a storm. So the disciples are in a boat in the middle of the storm, and this is where we find them, in a boat, in the storm. And I've got my boat, well, it's actually a canoe, but I've got it right here. You can't see it with the scripture there. Take the scripture out. There's my boat. We can't fit all 12 disciples in this one, but, you know, if you can imagine a boat in the middle of the storm, we had some issues with our, we had some ceiling drop down. It was a bit of a flood in there. In the hall a couple of, yesterday, so we may have needed this to paddle around in. But we're going to get into the scriptures, we're going to jump straight into it. Here we go. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 45. We're going to start there, we're going to keep going. It says this: immediately Jesus made his disciples get on the boat and go ahead of them to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowds. After leaving them, he went up to the mountainside to pray. Let me just set the scene for you because I really want you to picture where everybody is at in this story, you see. Jesus is doing what Jesus did. He got on the boat with the disciples. He came across. He crossed to the other side of the lake. And when he got there, the crowds kind of followed him around. He'd been getting some popularity. A few people were following him now on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And so people were chasing around to meet up with Jesus. And so they got there and Jesus had compassion on them and did what Jesus did. So he fed them. He took a happy meal, broke it apart, and fed 5,000 people, plus women and children, and they all were fed. The disciples are getting a bit hungry, and Jesus says to them, look, disciples, just get on the boat and cross back. Go back. And then Jesus went up the mountainside to pray. So Jesus is up on the mountainside to pray, and he's sent the disciples in a boat. And you guessed it, a storm hits. Mark records it like this in verse 47. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he, being Jesus, was all alone on the land. 48, he saw the disciples straining. That word straining, by the way, could be struggling or, you know, suffering. It's straining with the oars because the wind was against them. What a nice way to say you're in the middle of a storm. You're straining and the wind is against you. Doesn't quite give you the right picture, does it? Straining in the middle of the storm. Shortly before dawn, other versions, if you have the King James, might say fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 a.m., so somewhere in that space. He went out to them walking on the lake, and he was about to pass them by. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. I would be too. Between 3 and 6 of the morning, you see someone walking on water in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, you would be freaking it out. Disciples were freaking. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. 51, he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were all completely amazed. I would be too. If Jesus stepped into the boat and everything went calm, You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. It's an incredible story we find in Scripture and a story that we've read about a lot. And it's a story about a storm and the disciples being in a boat in the storm. In the storm. And I don't know about you, but in my life, it feels like I go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And it feels like I'm always in a storm. Like, let's face it. It feels like we're just going from one storm to the next storm. And if we're truly honest, there's always something that we're dealing with that we really don't want to be dealing with. Yeah? Yeah, there's something that's going on, whether that be in our finances, whether that be in our family, whether that be friends and relationships, whether that be in our own minds, in the emotions, in our feelings, at work. Well, there's always something going on that we'd rather not be dealing with. And I think when we see storms in Scripture and we see this story, we could learn a lot from it because they're very applicable to each and every one of us because we've all know what it means to be in a storm. And some storms are big, some storms are small, but we seem to be always kind of dealing with something. And so this story is exciting for me because we can learn something from this story. And let me say this straight from the start, right? Like, we've heard stories about storms before, and I've preached about storms before. And in Mark chapter 4, we know there's this other storm that happens. The disciples are in a boat, and they're in the middle of a storm. Jesus is sleeping on a pillow at the front of the boat. They wake him up, and Jesus stands up, and he says to the storm, "Storm, be still." And the storm is still. I mean, even in that, I could, and you probably heard sermons, and I've preached it before, maybe not here, but somewhere else, and about speaking to our storms. And let me get this right, you know, when we're in the middle of a storm, and if Jesus was in the boat, I might do this here so I don't, what is that? There we go. And we're in our boat, and we're paddling along, you know, and we're in the middle of a storm, right? We're in the middle of the storm. If Jesus is with us, it's all good. Jesus is in the boat with us. And then I could turn around and say, we could preach a sermon like Jesus did. You know, Jesus got up, he said to the storm, "Storm!" Go on, say it with me. "Storm! Be still!" Like, and I could preach that sermon to you. And it would be a great sermon. In fact, say it with a bit of attitude. Say, "Storm!" Oh, that was terrible, people. Come on. Like, no storm's going to listen to you. Say, "Storm!
Storm!"
That's a bit of attitude. Whoa.
"Be still!"
And you know what? I could preach that sermon. I could preach that sermon. Where you know, we say to our storms, if Jesus is inside of us and he lives inside of us, that we're in the boat because Jesus is inside of us, and in the middle of the storm, Jesus was able to say, "Be still," and I could say to you, we could stand in front of the storm and tell the storm to be still. I could preach that really easily. Here's my problem. I've got to be honest with you. My storms don't listen to me. They don't. More often than not, I'm in the boat and I'm saying, "Storm, be still," but they're not listening. Does your storms listen to you every 100% of the time? Maybe they do and you're more spiritual than I am, and if you are, then that's fine. You can read Facebook, social media, do whatever you want for the next 20 minutes. But my storms don't listen to me. I've told them a number of times, "Be still, get lost, go away." But they don't listen. They don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. So what I want to do is I want to preach a sermon today that is actually helpful. Because if I preach the sermon that says, you know, "Storm, be still," and tell you all to tell your storms to be still on Wednesday, you're gonna hate me. It's not going to work. If you have storms like mine, they don't listen. So I want to preach a sermon that's actually helpful. So the title of my sermon today is this: What to Say to Yourself in the Storm. Instead of speaking to the storm, let's actually start speaking to ourselves in the storm. Because here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Some storms we face, right? Some storms we face are there from God, and they build us up. And they build us up to do great things, because God wants to do great things through us. But before he can do great things through us, he needs to do something in us. Does that make sense? Like God wants to do something through us, and so he sometimes sends storms and allows storms to happen in our lives so that he can build us up, and to build us up to do great things, but he has to work in us so that he can work through us. And some storms are there, and we can learn a lot from the storm. You know, Zoe used to say that she used to pray for patience when it came to our kids, right? She's in the storm and she's praying for patience. "God, give me patience!" I don't know if you learn patience when everything is good, when it's smooth sailing. Do you learn patience when everything is smooth sailing? No. God put you in a situation where you have to practice patience. A storm, so to speak. Worst prayer ever. Worst prayer ever. See, we need to know what to say to ourselves in the storm. When we're in our boat and we're paddling, trying to get through this, we need to know what to say. Because if we don't, the devil will come along and he'll whisper in your ear and he'll ask you a question to throw you off task. And if you don't know what to say in the middle of the storm, and the devil comes along and helps you try and think of something, you're going to think of the wrong thing. And we'll spend more time in the storm than we actually should. Does that make sense? It does, doesn't it? So I want to talk to you today about what to say to yourself in the storm. And so, you know me, I like to get into the characters. I like to get into the story. I like to imagine myself in the story and being in the boat with the oar. And it makes me feel good, you know. And I'm in there and I'm imagining the middle of the night. I'm in the boat with the disciples, you know. There's the disciples there. They're doing their thing. And Mark says, you know, they were in the boat and the wind came along and they toiled and struggled and everything was right. And then Jesus came along. I don't think that's all that happened in that boat that night. The scripture says they were terrified. You know, no, tell me Thomas or Doubting Diddy wasn't in the boat going, "We're gonna die." Come on, he doubted everything. Don't tell me Peter didn't have a bit of lack of faith in that moment. Good Lord, who knows what Judas was doing at the time when he was in the boat. Like, he probably was trying to rip everybody off. Like, we know the disciples weren't quite as clean cut as it's made out to be in this scripture. And so they're in the boat. And I don't think it's as clean cut as what we see. And I think they would have been asking questions. And I reckon the devil would have come along and asked them questions. And one of the first questions I reckon that the devil would have come along with was, or is, if I was in the story and that was me and that was happening, what the heck am I doing in the middle of a storm? That would be the first question, wouldn't it? If you're in the middle of a storm and all is going lost and you were in this, what on earth am I doing in this storm? Wouldn't you ask that question? When things go wrong in your life, what am I doing in this place? Why am I here? Why do I work there when they treat me like this? Why do I have kids? Like, they promised me that they would be good, but God, God, they're terrible some days. Like, it's just bad when you sound it out loud, you know. But it's true. Like, what are we doing? Why do I live in this area when all this crime is happening? Why is this still going on in this place? What am I going to do? Like, we're in the storm and we're questioning, what the heck am I going to do here? And that's the question that comes along. And unless we know what to say, the devil will come in and get us to question it. Like the devil will, won't he? He'll come in. Just nod your head if you're still with me. Yeah, good, good. What do we say? And trust me, Eve understands this principle. You know, remember Genesis, Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say, "Do not eat the tree"? Fruit from the tree. Did God really say that? Like, if we don't know what to say when the questions come along and when we start to think about it, we're going to struggle. So what do we say to ourselves in the middle of the storm to that question, what the heck am I doing here? First thing we say is found in the first verse that I read out. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get on the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida. The first thing to say when we're in the middle of a storm, when we're wondering why and how we ended up here, is we say, God sent me here. I am sent. Say it. I am sent. I am sent. Jesus sent them into the storm. Immediately, he sent his disciples to jump on a boat and go. Do you think it was a surprise to Jesus or God that they were where they were? No. They were sent. And if God sends us, hear me right, if God sends us into these situations, he will give us the strength we need to get through those situations. He will give us the skills we need, the abilities we need. He will give us the provision that we need to get through the storm. He will bestow peace on us when we need peace. He will give us exactly what we need to deal with the storm that we are facing, right? That God has a plan and a purpose so that we're in the boat and we're there and the storm's coming and all hell is breaking loose. We could say, God sent me here to this storm. Preach it, brother. God sent me here. Say, God sent me.
God sent me.
Say it with some attitude. God sent me. You're such a good kid, Daniel. Now you're going to beat the drums. God sent me. We need to sometimes say to ourselves in the middle of a storm, God sent me here. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has something for you to do. Something for you to learn. Something for us to grab hold of. We don't like it. Gosh, I don't like it. But God sent us. God sent us. We need to tell ourselves when the devil comes along and we start to question why the heck are we here, we say, well, God sent me here to this place. Second thing I would start to ask myself, because let's face it, a lot of us actually get stopped on that first one. And we've seen many people who have come into church and thought life was going to be rosy. And then it wasn't. And they've gone, why am I here? What's happening? And they've left. So we need to know what to say in the storm. God sent me. But if God sent me, this would be my second question, if I was on the boat with the disciples that night and I'm straining and I think, God sent me here and I'm in this storm, why is it so hard? Wouldn't you ask that as the next question? Wouldn't the devil come along and say, why is it so hard? If God sent you, why is it so hard? If God sent you here to be part of this, why is it so hard? Scripture says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. That word straining in the Greek is an interesting word. It's only used a couple of times in Scripture. It actually was talking about how they used to strain precious metals. What they used to do, the commentaries I was reading said they had this black rock and they would scrape it against the precious metal, the gold, and they would strain it out of the other rock. And they happened to do that and then they knew how pure the gold was. A modern day picture of it would be that we would boil gold or silver or precious metal, we'd boil it, and all the impurities would just come up to the top. We call it the dross. We were up in Kalgoorlie, you know, the dross, the impurities. They'd scrape that off and then they would actually get to the pureness of the gold. You see, this idea of straining, why is it so hard, right? I believe that God he's rubbing us up. He's kind of doing something on us and with us to make us more pure. He's trying to get the impurities out. And let's face it, right? Like, let's face it. When we're in the car and we're going to Coles and we're looking for that car spot, we've driven around five times and we park out, have our indicator on, and then all of a sudden someone cuts in and takes our spot. There's some impurities that come out, isn't there? See, God wants to make us more pure. He wants to do something in the storm. But here's the thing, when I thought about this analogy and thought about the word that they used in the straining, is that straining only takes it a bit of time. Straining the gold would take, you know, maybe a day. When we boil it up and we take the dross off, it's for a time. We do it, we get it, and we reset it. You see, the greatest thing we could stay in the storm right now, when we're being strained and it's hard, is that it's only seasonal and this will not last. Can't we say that? Like when the question comes up, you know, if God sent me, why is this so hard? Then we could turn around and go, you know what? This is seasonal. This will not last. This straining that I'm going through is for a purpose. It's going to make me more pure, but this will not last. God will finish that work. Make sense? Yeah, it will not last. It will not last. Say it will not last. You know, that's one of the most powerful things you can tell the devil in the middle of a storm is that it will not last. You know, the psalmist put it like this. Weeping may stay for a night, but joy is found in the morning. It will not last. Some of the storms we're in will not last. We need to recognize that is for a purpose to make us more pure. Absolutely. Strain the impurities out, but it will not last. The last thing I want to talk to you about, and the last question I think that I would get to, and in the middle of this, and I almost didn't want to preach this because it's such a powerful question that I would ask myself if I was in the boat, if I'm straining in the boat and I've gone, you know, God sent me, and yep, I'm good, you know, and this will not last, this storm, I'm good, you know. This question kind of, it tripped me up, it stumped me, and for days I kind of struggled with it, and I had to do a lot of research to kind of, to make sense of this in my head. Because I would ask the question, or the devil would come along and ask the question of me, if you're in the boat in the middle of a storm, then where is Jesus in all of this? Because he's not in the boat with us. Where is Jesus? I mean, he's on the land, he's praying, but where is he? Where is Jesus in this story? And you know, I struggled. And I thought about it because in Mark 4, right, the other storm story, Jesus is in the boat with me. Like when Jesus is in the boat and he's, you know, he's there, we wake him up. Jesus, there's a big storm, be still, storm. He speaks to the storm, storm, be still. I could take on that kind of struggle and that kind of storm any day of the week. Jesus is in the boat with me. But what happens when we don't have Jesus, when we go through a storm, right, where we don't feel Jesus close to us? Like, don't get me wrong, I know the cliches that God is everywhere and God is with us wherever we go. Like, I get that. But let's be really honest, like, let's take the religious hats off for a minute. Like, there are times where God feels so far away. There are times where it feels like he's silent, where you just can't reach out and grab hold of God. There are times in the storm that we go through where we just don't feel like Jesus is there. And that's the type of storm Mark 6 is. Like Mark 4 storms, when Jesus is in the boat, I'd go all day with it. Any storm. But Mark 6, they're the storms that we really struggle with, isn't it? They're the storms we kind of... And it stumped me for days. Where is Jesus? He's not in there with me. And the devil might come along and go, you know, if God is really a God of love, where is he? Like, these are the questions that... And so I want to try and help you today, because I think this is practically when we look at this. And I struggled, as I said. And so what I did was I laid the two stories side by side on my computer, and both stories had a storm. Both stories had the disciples in the boat. Both stories had the boat. Both stories had the same sea, the Sea of Galilee. By the way, the Sea of Galilee is 33 miles right round. It's 144 feet deep in the deepest point. It's actually about average of 88 feet deep. And it's 700 feet below sea level, surrounded by mountains, which made it a perfect scenario for storms. And yet, they're there on the same lake, same boat, same disciples, same thing, everything. And in Mark 4's story, the disciples run straight to Jesus. And they wake him up and he comes out and he calms the storm. And then he says to the disciples, you have no faith. He kind of scolds them a bit, actually, in the Mark 4 story. Like, you had no faith. And it feels like Jesus is angry with his disciples in Mark 4. And yet in Mark 6, right? Mark 6, on the other hand, here's some of the differences in Mark 6. It says that the disciples were straining with the oars in the middle of the storm, and Jesus comes along, and actually, you know, he's there, but he doesn't actually scold them. He doesn't go against them. He doesn't kind of go. And I try to figure out why, because we've in churches and I preach sermons, and we've all been there. We've all kind of got to that place of going in the middle of the storm. We just need to pray to Jesus. We need to reach out to Jesus. We need to touch Jesus. We need to get, and we keep saying those things, but actually, Mark 4, he scolds them for that exact thing. And this got me even more confused. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm still working this stuff out. Like, I'm still working through this material that I'm giving you today. Like Mark 4, he's angry. Mark 6, he doesn't seem to be. And I had to figure out what the difference was. And then I worked it out. There is a key difference to it all. In Mark 4, disciples didn't do anything. They just sat in the boat and then woke Jesus up when it was time. In Mark 6, they were straining the oars. They were trying something. They were doing something. They were trying to get out. They were doing something to try and to get past this storm that they were in. And it made me realize that Jesus actually doesn't want us Christians to be babies going to him for everything all the time. Don't get me wrong, we should go to him in prayer for everything, so don't take that out of context. But when every single storm comes up, I think he wants us to start stepping out before we even go to him, because he wants us to be people who claim the promises found in Scripture. That God actually wants us, and Jesus wants us to start walking in everything that's in the Scriptures. We love you, Daniel. We're so glad you're part of our church, mate. That was the storm. See, this is the point. See, in Mark 4, they did nothing. Went straight to Jesus. Like a child, like a baby would, dependent for everything. I think Jesus came to make disciples. Came to make people who could step out claiming the things that they did. And so the disciples were trying something. They were trying something. And I know this to be true because the Scriptures actually say, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Turn to someone and say, I can. Turn to someone else and say, I can. You see, in the middle of the storm, when we're in the middle of a storm, and it's a Mark 6 storm. It's a Mark 6 storm where we don't feel Jesus and we don't know what's happening and we don't know where he is and we're having that, and we know he's around us. We need to tell ourselves, I can, through Christ. Say, I can. I can get through this storm that I'm in the middle of. I can go through this situation that completely sucks and I have no control over. I can get through these family issues with my extended family. I can get through these financial issues. I can get my kids through teenagership. I can deal with this new boss at work. I can deal with the emotional pain and the mental pain. I can get over this addiction. I can do everything in the Mark 6 storm because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I believe God wants us to be disciples who actually turn around and try something. In the middle of the storm, we try something. That we are actually bigger than babies instead of going to God, dependent on him, where we actually go, you know what, through Christ, and that's the key here. Don't get me wrong, in your own strength, you got nothing. Devil can beat you down every single time. But through Christ, I can do all things. And I think that's the difference between the two storms. That's the difference between the two storms. And I kind of got this because I didn't see this until the very last verse of this actual passage. Put the last verse up for me, please. It should be on the next slide. The last verse, next verse, next verse, next verse. It's coming up. It says this. I think it's coming up. Hopefully it's there. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. In other words, they haven't come to that realization that through Christ I can do all things. It doesn't say they have no faith. It doesn't say that he scolded them. It doesn't say that he had a go at them like he did in Mark 4 when Jesus was in the boat. You know, that one, we could do that all day with Jesus in our boat. That's fine. But when Jesus wasn't there in Mark 6, they just hadn't come to that realization of believing that through Christ they could do all things. Does that make sense? You see, here's my prayer. Here's my thing. And this is what I want us to kind of hook onto and to finish with here, right? That in the storm of which I am sent by God into, the storm of which will not last, the storm of which in Christ I can do all things. My prayer is that we become the believing church that does step out, believing God will do all these things. That's my prayer for us, is that we step out into all that God has for us. That we step out believing that God has greater things to do through us. That we can do all things through Christ. That we claim the promises found in Scripture. That we become the believing church, so that when we are in the middle of a storm and it doesn't even feel like Jesus is there, we can say, I can do this. Because he is here and I can do. Makes sense? Makes sense? I'm going to get Chrissy to start coming up and playing. Because we're going to sing a new song. It's a song that was released on Easter Sunday this year. the song where the music came out just this week. So the band has learnt it for today, this week. So if we get a few of the notes wrong or we hit the wrong drum or sing something, just bear with us. We learnt it fairly quick for today. But here are the words. These are the words of the bridge. It says this: I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen kids restored and healed. Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. We'll see cities in revival and salvation flood the streets. Gosh, isn't that the prayer there? Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't tell me he can't do it, because he can. And we need to go, you know what, God? We might be in the middle of a storm, and we may be, it might be a Mark 6 storm, and we may not know what to do, and we may not feel like Jesus is there, and we may feel like all hell is breaking loose around me, but we could turn around and say, I know I can, because of all that God has done. Because he can do it, regardless of what I'm feeling. Regardless of what I'm going through, I can. So we're going to sing this song. It's a beautiful song. So I invite the singers to come back up and put the stage back together. I'm going to drop this back down here now that I've done that. And I want you to kind of, if you know, if you've heard the song before, you can try and sing it with us. If you haven't, close your eyes and maybe listen to it. If you want to, you know, it's a good song. But it talks about the church stepping into all that God has claimed for us. Stepping in, saying, yes, we can. Yes, I can. Regardless of what storm we find ourselves in. Let's sing this song. Too good not to.